Good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome to worship tonight. This evening we take advantage of the opportunity to gather as God's people to commit to Him our celebrations of the past year and ask God that He would bless them and sanctify Him. We also entrust to Him the challenges and trials that we brought with us from 2014 that will follow us into the new year. We commit to Him our, as we pray in evening prayer, our unfinished tasks and our unfulfilled hopes, knowing that God alone is the only one who can do anything about those. So through prayer and song and word of God this evening, let us entrust 2014 and enter 2015 in the name of our God. The order of service that will follow is printed for you in the worship booklet for this evening. If you didn't get one on the way in, please get the attention of the ushers, and they'll make sure that you have this. Our opening hymn for this evening is in the blue hymn book. It's hymn 708. Let me double check. It is hymn 708, and our soloist will introduce the melody for us by singing stanzas 1 and 2, and then we will join in the following stanzas. Let us worship the Lord. Worship on page 2 in the worship book. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to tear down, and a time to build, a time to weep,
and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones, and a time to gather them, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain, a time to search, and a time to give up, a time to keep, and a time to throw away, a time to tear, and a time to mend, a time to be silent, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace.
Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom.
Let us pray. Eternal Father, before whom all generations rise and fall, teach us to think earnestly on the brevity of our lives and on the immensity of your goodness. Help us to enter the new year trusting in the name of your Son and walking in the way of his peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. Our first lesson for this evening is recorded in John chapter 3. And I would imagine that victories, draws, and defeats sum up your 2014. Victories in your relationship with God, defeats in your relationship with God, draws in your relationship with God. Victories by his grace when we overcome, draws when by his grace we fight the good fight and we come out on the other side. Defeat when we give in to sin. And so it's more than just win some, lose some. That works well for checkers, pickup games of basketball, games of online Parcheesi. But when we lose, we dishonor God. When we lose, we hurt ourselves. When we lose, we hurt our brothers and sisters. When we lose, we walk away from our God. However, that does not change the fact that God has loved you. That God has loved you in Jesus. And he sent his Son to win a victory that you cannot win, to live perfectly for you, to win a victory over sin in the grave that you cannot win by dying and rising from the dead for you. We open with God's word of promise that Jesus has won an eternal victory for you, and you get to live for your God. Live victoriously for your God now and with him forever. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. This is the word of the Lord. We respond to God's word with hymn 399. 399 is in the red hymn books in the pew back in front of you. Hymn 399.
Thank you.
Have you ever tried to count them up? Sometimes I think it's impossible to count up all the times that we spend with, to use the words from Jesus' parable, the time we spend in quote-unquote wild living. You know, those times that we take our energies, our time, our mind, our talents, our blessings from God, and we use them in ways that do not glorify Him, do not advance His kingdom, do not build one another up. In those times, when they bother you and they plague you, recall these words from Jesus' parable. The times when God, by His grace, seeks you out, turns you back to Him, calls you on your sin and sinfulness, and when you come back to Him, you find nothing but wide open arms, love, and forgiveness. The second lesson is Jesus' parable recorded in Luke chapter 15. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. You never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him?' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
don't always know what tomorrow is going to be like. Most of the time, we don't know what tomorrow is going to be like. This evening, however, St. Paul tells you what your tomorrow and the next day and the day after that is going to be like. You are going to live as God's chosen child. You are going to live as one who has been adopted into his family. You are going to live as one who has been eternally loved by your God. You are going to stand to inherit heaven. Enjoy listening to this lesson from St. Paul telling you what your tomorrow and the next day and your eternity is going to be like. The third lesson is from Ephesians chapter 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us in all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the time will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. This is the word of the Lord. For our next hymn, we return back to the blue hymn books. We'll join together in singing hymn 752.
Thank you.
I want you to name it and picture it. What is it that challenges you right now? What is it that has vexed your last year, or maybe it's even the last decade or longer? What skin skeleton haunts your closet? And it hangs there every day. And maybe it gets you to question, could God ever love me when I did that? Has God really forgiven me for doing that because it's so terrible and it really bothers you? Picture it and name it. What is it that keeps you from being quiet at night? Or gets you wondering, you know, has God forgotten about this? Whatever it is that you entrusted to his care through prayer a long time ago, or maybe it was even last night, and did that skip God's list of things to do to help you out? I want you to picture it and name it, and then envision your Savior Jesus conquering it for you, whether it is physical, emotional, or spiritual. Our Savior has conquered all things for us. That promise is made in the fourth lesson from Romans chapter 8. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
The fifth lesson is continuation of St. Paul's encouragements. St. Paul was blessed by God to get it, to understand it, to get and to understand that sometimes in life, your only comfort is knowing that when you are weak, Jesus is strong for you. And because Jesus is strong for you, you are strong. May God so give us that strength and that encouragement. The fifth lesson is from 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I must go on boasting. Although there is nothing to be gained, I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise. He heard inexpressible things, things that man is not permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain, so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. To keep me from being conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
It made Jesus weep. And it's okay if it makes you cry. It's okay if it makes you weep. It's okay if you mourn the loss of a loved one who has died in Jesus. Because there are no rule books on how you are to mourn the loss of a loved one who has died in Jesus. May these following promises from your God give you comfort and strength as you consider your loved ones who now rest with Jesus. May that picture of your loved ones with your Savior dry your tears, comfort your hearts, and lift you up as you mourn and consider your loved ones. The promise being that they live with Jesus right now. The promise being one day you will live with them too. The sixth lesson is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own turn. Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For he has put everything under his feet. Now when it says that everything has been put under him, it is clear that this does not include God himself, who put everything under Christ. When he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him who put everything under him, so that God may be all in all. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Have you ever wished that it would just all go away? Have you ever wearied under that whole patience, perseverance, character, hope cycle before? As comforting as it is to know that God disciplines those he loves, and when we face difficult times, God is leading us and bringing us back to himself, and as comforting as it is to know that in his grace, God is going to reach out to us and get our attention, whatever it takes, whether it's difficulty or trial or sadness or mourning, God is going to reach out and bring us back, call us to repentance. And when he brings us back, he is going to love us and forgive us and bring us closer to him and strengthen us and encourage us. Do you ever wish it all would just go away? Well, one day it's going to. Until that day, may God's promise of that great day and his promise to be with you today, tomorrow, and always encourage you and comfort you as you live your lives for your God. The seventh lesson is recorded in Revelation chapter 7. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they and where did they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord.
worship continues on page 5 in the service booklet with the responsive prayer of the church. Please stand. It is fitting, O Lord, in the final hours of this year, to express our gratitude for the countless gifts of grace we have received from you. You clothe your creation with beauty. You feed even the birds and tell us that we are much more valuable than they. Clothing and food, safety and health, possessions and money, even life itself, all these come to us from your generous hand.
We thank you for these blessings, and we ask that you continue to grant them to us.
We thank you especially for your word and Holy Supper, which strengthen our faith, shield us from temptation, and equip us for service.
Increase our commitments to these precious days, so that we may continue to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
In holy baptism, you adopted us as your sons and daughters. We pray for those who were baptized into your name this past year: Ryan Haas, Christy Allen, Jayla Brown, O'Jalen Brown, Josiah Schmidt, Arnica Hamadi, Claire Stray, Peyton Stoffel, Mashad Moravehi, Daniel Hernandez, Alexander Wallace, and Sydney Gabbert. Nurture them in their baptismal faith, that they may remain your children throughout their earthly lives and into eternity. At creation, you established marriage and family, and in your goodness, you bring husbands and wives together in marriage. We pray for our members who were united in marriage during the past year: Jason and Danielle Covey, James and Kayla Oswald, Jordan and Brittany Dobson. May their love for you and for one another continue to grow each day. Your Son atoned for our sin and defeated the grave by his resurrection from the dead. Trusting in his victory over death, we remember the members of our church whom you called home to yourself during this past year: Vi Schultz, Doris Larson, Jean Cummings, Judy Clem, Rosemary Blaze, Madonna Perkins, Mary Radmanich, Harry Marks, Stephen Hine, and Ken Bishop. We thank you for bringing them to faith in your Son and for giving them to us as our companions during our journey in this life. Continue to comfort their loved ones as they look forward to a blessed reunion in heaven. Almighty and eternal God, you have been gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. As you led your people Israel with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, so lead us by the light of your word, that we may live our lives to your glory and be prepared to die in your peace. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
May the grace of the Lord Jesus sanctify us and keep us from every evil. May Christ drive all hurtful things far from us and purify both our souls and bodies. May Christ bind us to himself by the bond of love, and may his peace abound in our hearts.
Amen.
Please be seated for the closing.
Spend some time in God's house this evening. May the love and peace of Jesus go with you into the new year. May you live confidently for him, anticipating the time when we live eternally with him. Very special welcome to some family that is in town and worship guests. We're pleased to have you in God's house, and we're able to spend some time sharing the love of Jesus with you. I would be happy to visit with you in the narthex and answer any questions you might have about St. Mark's, or share any more information about something that you may have heard this evening. And to our members, may God bless you also. It was my pleasure to lead you in worship and to share the word of God with you tonight. Thank you to Jory for sharing your musical gifts with us. We appreciate your service to us and to your Savior. May the peace of God be yours in 2015. I'll see you one more time on your way out. Please feel free to visit with one another before you're ushered out.